Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Noach, and the title of the shiur is The Raven. We're going to discuss the whole back and forth between Noach and the raven and the dove and the teva. I'm sure we're all familiar with the general ideas of the story, but I think there's a certain depth to the story that we're going to try to bring out in the shiur tonight. So the first things first, we're going to read through the psukim, and we'll just get a more detailed idea of what happened in the story. It's Bereishis Parakhas, Pasuk Dalet. It says, Vatana chateva b'chodesh hashvi b'shivasar yom l'chodesh al harei Ararat. The teva, the ark, it rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day, on Hare Ararat. That was the name of the har, the mountain. V'hamayim hayu haluch v'chasor ad ha'chodesh ha'asiri, ba'asiri be'achad l'chodesh niru rashi ha'arim. And then the water, it started to diminish, the flood water started to diminish, until the 10th month, the first of the 10th month, and then all the tops of the mountains could be seen. Vayhi miketz arbaim yom, after 40 days, vayiftach Noach es chalon ha'teva asher asa. Noach opens up the window that he had made for the teva. Vayishalach es ha'orev, he sends out the raven. Vayetze yatzo vashov ad yevoshes ha'mayim ala aretz. It went back and forth until the mayim dried up on the land. Then afterwards it says Vayishalach es hayona. Then he sends out the dove meito from it liros hakalu ha'mayim me'al pnei adama to find out if the water had been gone and had diminished completely. Velo matzah hayona manoach lechaf ragla. So the Yonah couldn't find a place to rest. Vatasha ve'la v'el ha'teva, it came back to the teva, kimayim apnei kol ha'aretz, because the water was still covering the whole ground. Vayishlach yado vayikachea, so he brings out his hand and he grabs the Yonah, this is Noach, vayave ita ela v'el ha'teva, and he brings it back into the teva. Vayachel od shivas yamim achirim, then he waits another 7 days, vayosef shaloach es ha'yonah min ha'teva. He sends the Yonah again, the dove again, on the second mission. Vatavoi love hayonah le'is erev. The Yonah comes back. Vehine alezayis taraf befia. It has an olive branch in its mouth. Vayeda Noach ki kalu hamayim al aretz. Noach at that point he knew and he understood that the water had diminished on the land. Vayachel od shivasimim achirim. Vayishalach teyonah v'lo yosva shuvei love od. He waited another 7 days. He sends out the Yonah again, and the Yonah never returns. So the land was completely dry. Noach removed the cover of the ark and he saw that the land was dry. Okay, on the second month, the 27th day, the land was completely dry. So the general idea of the story, or at least the pshat of the story, is that Noach, he sends out the Orev, the raven, to find out if the waters had diminished, but that doesn't work out. Then he sends out the Yonah one time, the Yonah comes back. Then he sends out the Yonah a second time, the Yonah has an olive branch in its mouth. And then he sends out the Yonah the third time, and the Yonah never comes back. So what are the questions that emerge on the story? What is strange about this story? I'm asking the people on the phone line. If anybody has a question.
Why didn't just trust the raven?
What did you say?
Why you didn't just trust the raven? Like when the raven returned, you saw that they didn't bring back anything. Why did he send the dove again?
Yeah, okay, good.
Why did he send the raven again or something?
Right, exactly. So he sends out the raven, and then the raven doesn't do its job, and then he decides to send out the Yonah, but the Yonah went out, and it came back at first. So, I mean, it really... Why did he make the decision to switch from the raven to the Yonah, right? That's the general. That's one of the ideas. Anybody else have a question? That's one question. I think another question is, why did he choose the Orev in the first place? You know, what is the idea that he chose? Why did he choose the raven initially, and then he changes and chooses the dove? What changed in his mindset? What was different? And then the last question, I think, a strong question is, what's the point of this story? Why is the Torah telling us this whole story? I mean, why do we really need to know this? Is this important for us? Do we learn a lesson from this? Or is it just telling us what happened? Usually the Torah doesn't just describe historical facts, but it usually gives us a story or some type of, to teach us something, to teach us a deeper idea. So what is that idea here? What can we gain by the fact that Noah sent out a raven, and then he sent out a dove, and the dove came back with the olive branch? So those are all the questions on these psukim. The olive branch, everybody thinks the olive branch is the idea of peace, but I don't know where they get that from. But that's another question. What is the significance of the olive branch also, right? Anybody have any more questions? I don't want to close off the, you know, if anybody has any other questions or wants to ask questions, please do so. Maybe I'm missing something.
I had a question. I never knew that, I guess that Noah sent the birds out because he knew that maybe the flood was, Hashem stopped the rain. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, the Teva already stopped. It was already rested, and then he saw the tops of the Harim. So at that point, he recognized that the waters were diminishing. So he had this plan. He sends out the Orev first, and then he sends out the Yonah after. So it was at that point. So he kind of knew that the flood was coming to an end. But the question is, those are the questions. The main question is, what do we learn from this story? Why did he choose the Orev in the first place? What happened? Why did he switch to the Yonah? And what is the Yonah telling us by bringing back an Ali Zayas, by bringing back the olive branch? Is there a deeper meaning or a deeper idea to that? And what is the Torah trying to express by that? So those are all the questions. Okay, so in number two, there's a Radak on this. And I want to start with the Radak because he gives a really nice shot on this area, on these psukim. But I didn't put it down because as people have had trouble copying or printing TIF files. So I'm just going to read it inside and explain as I'm reading. So the Radak takes up one of the main questions that we have, which is, why did Noach choose the raven? And I'm going to read inside, Vayishalach, Lama Shalach es Orev. He asked it pretty obviously, openly, why did Noach send out the Orev? Amar, he said, Ha Orev Ochel Basar, an Orev, a raven, it eats meat. Vayimtza Nevelos HaAdam Beha Behema, it'll find the carcasses of man and animals. If the waters have gone down so much that the Orev can find some carcasses on the ground, Yavi befiv shum basar, then he'll bring it back to Noach, v'neda ki chasru hamayim, and he'll know that the mayim retracted. V'shalchu, he sent out the Orev, v'lo hevi davar befiv, it didn't bring anything back, v'ra'ahu yotze yatzo v'shav, and it saw that the raven, it wasn't really going anywhere. It was just kind of going back and forth. The lo hikyar mimenu davar, he didn't gain any information from the orev. Kaya nichnas bekano v'yotze liros im yimtza mukol meshichno v'shavel kano v'ze asa adiboshes amayim. It didn't really go anywhere. It was just going back and forth, back from its nest, forth. It wasn't really searching for anything. So Noach recognized at that point that the orev really wasn't doing its job, and it wasn't going to work with the Orev. Okay, but it's important to note, just to summarize, the Radak is saying, the main point he's saying is, why did Noach choose the Orev? Because an Orev eats basar, it eats meat, and he wanted to send the Orev out because he suspected that there were carcasses from the flood, because the flood destroyed everything, that there were carcasses of humans and animals on the ground, and if the Orev found the carcass and ate from the carcass and brought back from the carcass to the Teva, it would reflect the fact that the Mayim, the water had retracted. So that's really the Radak's shot. And then he explains the Yonah. He says, V'amru bedrash al derech hamlita shalach choshech v'yachshech. Okay, fine. So that's the Medrash that he quotes. We're going to skip over that. Uviros Noach ki lo lamad meha orev davar. When Noach realized that he didn't learn anything from the orev, from the raven, shalach es a Yonah. Then he decides to send the dove. Ki a Yonah yeshba koach adimyon lahashiv sholcha davar. So a Yonah, a dove, is actually good at bringing stuff back to its owner. Achar shemalichin osa beosa derech pa moshtayim. After you send it in a certain path and in a certain direction one or two times, it learns how to get back. Gam yesh ba teva tshuka lashuv el kana. It has an innate intuition to return. V'chein minag hamalachim legadla bevesam. So kings, they used to raise doves and pigeons. Ulashalcha b'makomos arachokim. They would use them as messenger pigeons. And then it would come back. And then the person who you were sending it to would write something, and the pigeon would come back. Gam kein mishin ishtach alehem. So that's how they would communicate with people. So you'd use doves, they were messenger doves, and you would use doves to communicate. So that's why Noach switched from the orev to the dove. And that's the pshat of the psukim. So initially he chose the orev because the orev, he thought, would pick out the basar of the carcasses on the ground, and then he switches to the yonah because the yonah is a more effective messenger, and you see from, you know, history that the yonah is always used as a messenger pigeon. Okay? And then at the end he says, he says, L'chach pirsha ga'onem, mashanem ar betamud, ma yonah zuknafem, aginos aleha, klomar she'ain shokhtin osa. You don't shech the yonah. Ki bavor shlichusa megadlin mechayim osa v'sholchum osa, v'shava el sholcha v'zeh tasa kol apamim sholchum osa. Because they're very valuable as messengers. And then it says, v'shalach Noach, let me just finish it off, v'shalach Noach osa, why did Noach send it? Ki yada shetabilo shum davar l'simen. He knew that the Yonah would bring back something as a sign, im timtza Allah o gargir zera. Either it would find a leaf or it would find the seed. Okay, so that's the end of the Radak. So the Radak is actually, I think, is a really nice shot on the psukim. He's really explaining the whole back and forth. Really, he intended to send the Orev, and then he switches from the Orev to the Yonah because the Yonah is a more successful messenger, and he could rely on the Yonah more so than the Orev. So that's really the pshat. But I think within the Radak there's a deeper idea. Even though he's giving pshat, I think sometimes the pshat reflects a deeper idea. So what do we see about Noach's first choice? What was his first choice? The Orev. Why the Orev? The Radak says because the Orev would find the basar of the carcasses and it would bring it back to Noach. So what does that reflect on Noach's mindset? How would you describe, or how does it? How would you say the Radak's pshat reflects on Noach's mindset initially?
He had a morbid outlook on what happened.
Yeah, okay, good. So it would seem like the Radak's pointing out that Noach was somewhat... This was right before the water had diminished, and this is Noach before he's exiting the Teva. So what is his mindset? His mindset at this point, before he's exiting the Teva, seems to be that he's fixated somewhat on the destruction of the world. He's sending out the Orev. Why is he sending out the Orev? Because the Orev would really get the carcasses, the basar of the carcasses, which shows you that Noach was really fixated, or he was thinking about the destruction, the complete and utter destruction of the world, and how it affected the world. But the Yonah is a little different. The Yonah, at the end of the Radak, he says the Yonah was searching for an Allah or a gargar, a gargir zera, either a seed or a leaf. See, that's more anticipating the future. It's really anticipating the new world. So it seems like there was a little shift in Noach's thinking from the Orev to the Yonah, just from the Pshat of the Radak. And the shift was that when he sends out the Orev, he seems to be more fixated on the level of destruction of the flood and the destruction of the world. But then when he sends out the Yonah, there seems to be a shift, and he seems to be thinking about less so about the destruction of the world and more so about, you know, the new world and rebuilding the world, right? So maybe, I think the Radak, he gives us an opening into understanding the Psukim a little bit, but we're just starting with this point. But I think the Radak saying that Noach was struggling with the idea of the destruction of the world, and he had a little resistance to entering or exiting the Teva in the new world. Okay, but that's just the first step. What do we see about the destruction of the world? If you look at number 3 in the source sheet, it's Bereishis Perek Zayin, Chaf Aleph, starts with Chaf Aleph. It says, Vayigva kol basar haramis al aretz ba'of va'behimo v'chaya v'chol asheret hasheret al aretz v'chol adam. So every living creature got decimated by the flood. So there was complete and utter destruction of humanity, of the animals, of everything living through the flood. Kol asher nishmas ruach chayim ba'opav mikol asher becharava mesu. Anything that had any sign of life in its nostrils. So anything that had any sign of life was completely destroyed on the land through the flood. Vayimach es kol yekum asher al pnei adama me'adam ad behema ad remes v'ad ofa shemayim vayimachu min aretz vayishar ach noach v'asher ito bateva. And everything that existed was blotted out completely from the land, and only Noach remains, v'asher ito bateva. So I think the Torah, just the pshat of the psukim, is it's describing to you the level of destruction of the flood. and why it would have such an important impact on Noah. You see, the Torah is telling us that the destruction of the flood was complete and a complete decimation of everything that existed in the world before the flood. So the idea the Torah is telling you is that it was almost as if the world was completely destroyed and God was recreating the world after the flood. So Noah, it would make sense to me from the Psukim, it would make sense why Noah would be troubled so much by the destruction of the world. He was the only one that existed, he was the only one living, and the world that he had known and that he had been accustomed to and the initial design of the world was completely destroyed. So it would seem like this is just, I'll bring these Psukim in to show you the level of destruction and why that this level of destruction would affect Noah in such a severe way. But I think the first step of understanding these Psukim is to understand the mindset of Noah. That Noah's initial mindset was that he was fixated on the nature of the destruction and the complete and utter destruction of the world. That's why he's sending out the Orev, and the Psukim seem to prove this idea, that it was complete and utter destruction. Okay? Anybody have any questions with that point or with this move? All right. I think there's another proof for this idea. There's a couple proofs for this idea that Noah was really struggling with the idea that the whole world was destroyed and now there's a new world in existence. So there was a halacha on the teva. The halacha was that none of the animals and none of and neither Noah and his wife or his children and their wives were allowed to be with one another. They were not allowed to be intimate on the teva. And that was a real halacha. And if you look at number four, Rashi explains the idea of this halacha. Does anybody know the idea of that halacha? Why is it that it was usher for Noah to be with his wife or his children to be with their wives on the teva or even the animals? What do you think? What's the reason for that? So we look at Rashi, number four. He says, Ha'anashim levad, v'ha'anashim levad. So when they went on the teva, it says that the men would be separate and the women would be separate. Why? L'fisha nesru b'tashmish amita. There is an isser to be intimate. Because the world was in a state of pain over the destruction of the world. Okay, so what's this idea? This idea seems to be that it's inappropriate for a person to be thinking about their personal pleasure in a time when the whole entire world is in a destructive state, in a state of pain. It's selfish. It's selfish of man to be involved in Tashmish Amita when the world is being destroyed. But why do I bring this in? What's the purpose of this? I'm trying to show you that on the teva, that there was a mindset or an attitude or an environment of tsar on the teva. It wasn't like Noah was sitting on the teva and he was having a party with his family. Yay, we were saved. You know, let's drink, let's get married. No, there seemed to be a solemn attitude that was demanded even by halacha and by God on the teva. It couldn't be that Noah could just be a person who didn't care about the rest of the world, but rather on the teva itself, Noah was in the mindset, and his psyche was attached to the idea of the destruction of the world, and he had to be in a solemn state of mind and reflect on the idea of the destruction of the world. So this is another raya to me. It seems like it's another raya as to Noah's struggle with, I don't know if it's a struggle or his mindset as to how he felt about the destruction of the world. So we see from the Orev, the fact that he sends out the Orev, that he was thinking about the destruction of the world. He wasn't ready to move forward. And you see that the attitude on the Teva with the Isser Tashmish Amita reflects that idea, that it was expected that Noah and his children also have an attitude of seriousness and solemnness in order to reflect on the destruction of the world. And the destruction wasn't a particular destruction, it was a destruction of the whole entire universe. The universe as they had known it, and as it was first designed and initially created, was completely destroyed, and it was almost like it was recreated. So all those factors, with all those factors in mind, it would make sense why Noah was bothered and troubled so much, and that he had a certain resistance to leaving the table. Okay? There's another proof, there's another raya, that Noah struggled with the new world and the destruction of the old world. So what did Noah do when he left the teva? Does anybody know what did Noah do when he left the teva? Emily, do you have the sheets in front of you? Hello? Emily?
I do.
All right, can you read number five? Thank you. Karem.
Karem?
Yeah. Okay, so Noach, he was Noach was a big Isha Adama. He was a big planter. So what did he do? He planted a vineyard. This was after he got the Teva, he brought Korbanos, but after that, he planted a vineyard. Go on. Vayesh min hayayin vayishkar.
Vayesh min hayayin vayishkar
Besocho alo. Yeah, vayishkar besocho alo. So what did he do? He planted, one of his initial actions, the initial action of Noach was to plant a vineyard and to get smashed. So Noach, he gets drunk and he gets naked, and then you have the whole story. I don't know if you're familiar, but there's a whole story with Ham and Canaan. That all happens after this point. So you see, it's a strange thing. What was Noach doing there? Why did he get drunk? And the actually, he's criticized for getting drunk. If you look at Rashi, number 6, Rashi says, Vayachel, what does it mean? Asa atzmo chulin. He made himself non-holy, regular. Chulin means regular. Shahaya lo la'asok tchila b'netia acharis. He shouldn't have spent his first planting, involved in planting vineyards to get drunk. But he should have been involved in planting other, you know, other types of foods and fruits. Okay, and then it says, Isha Adama, it says, Adone Adama, Kimo Ishnami, fine. Vayita Karem, he planted a vineyard. Kishin Nichnos, Leteva, Hichnis, Imo, Zemoris, Vichori Te'inim. So when he went into the Teva, he brought in, because the question is, where did he get it from? So he brought in seeds to plant grapes, to plant a vineyard with. So what exactly, why do people get drunk in general? Why do people get drunk? What's the basic psychological concept behind getting drunk?
Because they don't want to deal with reality.
Escape their reality at times.
Yeah, exactly. So they want to escape their reality. So Noach, apparently Noach, it wasn't so easy for him to transition from the old world into the new world. Because you see that when he leaves the table, one of his first things that he does is that he plants a vineyard and he gets drunk. And he's actually criticized by Chazal for getting drunk. But what this reflects is the fact that Noach, he was trying to escape, and there was a part of him that couldn't deal with the transition from the old world into the new world. So all these ideas in the Psukim, I'm bringing out to show you that Noach, it wasn't an easy move to go from before the flood to after the flood. He wasn't partying on the Teva. He was in a solemn state. He was reflecting on the destruction of the world. He sends out the Orev, which reflects his mindset, that he's thinking about, you know, the nature of the destruction and how the whole entire world was decimated. You see from the Psukim that the destruction was complete and there was nothing that existed, no life existed as a result of the destruction. And then you see with this vineyard, you also see with this vineyard idea that from after the Teva, how Noach reacts, that apparently he still had trouble transitioning from the old world to the new world. So we're going to start with that premise. And I think that's like enough proof that this idea is a real idea and that Noach, you know, apparently Noach was struggling with the destruction of the world and anticipation of the new world, of transitioning into the new world. Okay? Anybody have any questions? Any points they want to add? Okay, so there's... Yeah. Did somebody just say no, or they said they had a question? You said no, I think, right?
I said no.
Okay.
But you said before with the Yonah that when he sent the Yonah out and he was hoping that he would bring back some seeds or leaf or something, that then he was concentrating on renewal in the future.
Yes,
That happened before he got off the...
Yes, I think that's a good point. I think it just reflects the fact that it didn't work completely. But I think there was an idea... I think the Midrashim, we're going to do the Midrashim, I think there's an idea being expressed by the Yonah to him. But I don't think it fully worked. I think even afterwards, he was still struggling with it. But let's that's a good question. Let's go into the Midrashim a little bit, and I want to pull out a point, okay? So the Ramban, but that's a great question. The Ramban asks a good question. And it's asked by the Gemara. Where did the Yonah, the dove, get the olive branch from? Why is that a question, such a strong question? Because the Torah says that everything was destroyed. Apparently, all not just human life, but the Gemaras and the Torah seem to indicate that all the trees were destroyed. There's nothing left. It was completely barren. So where exactly did the Yonah get the Alizayas from? So the Ramban, if you look at number 7, the Ramban says like this, V'nei Alizayas taraf b'fiyah, Mipshuto shall pasuk zeh yireh shelo nekru ha'ilanos v'lo nimachlu b'mabo. So the pshat of the psukim is that the ilanos, they still remained and they weren't destroyed by the mabo. So that's the simple pashup pshat. Kiloya shel nachal shotef ba'avur kines male kol ha'olam mayim. So there was no river that destroyed everything in its path. It was just a filling up of the world of water, and apparently the trees somehow they survived the flood. So that's the pshat. Aval bevreshis rabba, but there's some interesting midrashim here. Aval bevreshis rabba amru mehechon hevia oso. From where was it brought from? Rabbi Levi Omar mehar hamishcha hevia oso delo tipas ara di Yisrael b'maya de mabula. So Rav Levi says he got it from the har hamishcha, the mountain of olives. Why? Because there was no real flood in Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael was not affected by the flood. Husha Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar Liyecheskel Ben Adam Amor La Es Eretz Lo Mitahora Hiv Lo Goshma B'Yom Zam. So you see a raya from the Psukim that Eretz Yisrael was not affected by the flood. Rabbi Bairi Amar or Bairi Amar. So he has a different pshat. He says Niftechu La Sha'arei Gan Eden Veivu Oso. The Sharim, the gates of Gan Eden, were opened, and the Alei Zayas was brought from there. So, v'hinei kavanasam, what is their kavana? Shenekru ha'ilanos v'nimachu b'makomos ha'mabol. So they say that really the trees were destroyed by the mabol. V'af ki yiyya ha'ala naval, v'chein amru afilu itzteroblo and shalreichayim nimachu b'mabol. Everything was completely crushed and destroyed in the mabol. V'darshibu avanam shachaku mayim. Okay, so basically that's their pshat. Their pshat is that everything was destroyed, the trees were destroyed in the mabul, so where did the Yonah get the Ali Zayas from? The Yonah got the Ali Zayas either from Eretz Yisrael or from Gan Eden. Uma Amram, and he tries to explain how it's possible that Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected. Delo tipas ar di Yisrael b'mayid mabula, shelo yaha leha geshem ha'mabul. It didn't rain in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that there was no water in Eretz Yisrael, it just didn't rain there. Kedechsev lo goshma. The pasuk says it didn't rain there. Velo niftechu bo mayanos tahom rabba, and the springs from the ground didn't spring forth in Eretz Yisrael. Avah ha'mayim nespashtu b'chol ha'olam v'chisu kol ha'arim ha'gvoim asher tachas kol ha'shmayim. But rather, all the water from the outside of Eretz Yisrael infiltrated into Eretz Yisrael. Kemosha kasu mefurash. Fine. Ve'ein sov of Eretz Yisrael geder la'akev ha'mayim shli avoba. Eretz Yisrael can't function to fence off the water from entering it. V'kach amru pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Eretz Yisrael lo yard aleha me'amabul min ha'shamayim, ela nisgagalu ha'mayim min ha'ratzos v'nichnesu lo socha. So where did the water come from? It came from the outside. Shneamar ben Adam amor la. Okay, then he says, V'inei l'das Rabbi Levi, mipnei shelo yard be'aretz ha'hi, ha'geshem ha'shotef, lo niftechu aleha rubos ha'shamayim, nishar rubo ha'ilanos. Because there was no flooded waters from the rain and from the springs, therefore the Ilanos were able to survive there. Okay, fine. But the rest of the world was destroyed. But Eretz Yisrael, apparently the trees existed in Eretz Yisrael because it wasn't completely decimated. But I don't really care about the pshat of how the Ramban works it out, the pshat of how he worked it out. To me, what's more significant is, what's the significance of Eretz Yisrael not being affected by the flood? You know, why was it that Eretz Yisrael, or the idea of Gan Eden is a strange idea. I mean, but what is the importance or the idea of Eretz Yisrael not being affected by the flood, or Gan Eden not being affected by the flood? Why the Torah says that the whole world was affected by the flood. So why are these places, you know, treated any differently? And how does this fit into the whole story? Because we're trying to understand the Psukim, and we're trying to understand where the Yonah got the Ali Zayas from. So the Ali Zayas represents or reflects the idea that Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected, or Gan Eden wasn't affected. So what is the significance of this Medrash? And why is it that Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected, or Gan Eden wasn't affected? So those are the questions that I have on the Ramban. That was what's troublesome about the Ramban.
I think it could give Noah hope.
Okay. Hope. Okay,
having
good.
A place that still has some existence.
Okay, good. All right. That's Nicole, right?
Yes.
Okay. No, that's good. I like it. So I think what Nicole's saying, I just want to take Nicole's idea and elaborate on it. But I think what Nicole's saying is that, you see, Noach was really struggling with the destruction of the world as he knew it. But the idea of the Mabul not affecting Eretz Yisrael or Gan Eden is that there are certain aspects of the old world that weren't completely destroyed. So it's true that the world had to be reconstructed somewhat because of the nature of man, and mankind needed the world to be reconstructed. But there are certain aspects of the world, as Noah had known it, that was still in existence, and that wasn't completely destroyed. So I think that was I think this fits into the concept of the story, and what the representation of the Yonah is to Noah. So how so? You see, Noah was struggling with the destruction of the world, and it was difficult for him to move forward because he was fixated on the destruction of the world. But the idea that the Yonah is expressing through the Alei Zayis is that he's showing Noah that not everything in the world was completely destroyed, but there is still a perfection that exists even in the new world that comes from the old world, that the initial design of the world. And though that perfection is really expressed in Eretz Yisrael or Gan Eden, okay? So what's the machlokes? What's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Gan Eden? Well, one side is saying that the perfection of the old world, it doesn't exist. It's true it doesn't exist in the physical world anymore, but there is still a concept of Gan Eden. There still is a concept of, because we relate to Gan Eden in the non-physical sense. We usually, in Avos and in many places in the Gemara, Olam Haba is referred to as Gan Eden. So the idea of Gan Eden is that Noach should understand that there still is an ideal makom. There still is an ideal place in the world to exist in. Yes, it doesn't exist in this world, but it exists. It still exists. And the idea is that the Yonah is trying to express to Noach that there still is an existence of the old world in the new world. It may not exist in the physical, but it still exists in the non-physical. So that was one idea. That's one possibility. And the other possibility is Eretz Yisrael itself. You see, Eretz Yisrael represents a land of perfection. There's a certain perfection to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to discuss what that is. But there's a certain perfection to Eretz Yisrael that is reflective of the initial design of creation, of the initial world. So the Yonah is trying to express to Noach this idea that even in this world, there still is a remnant of the old world, of the initial universe. So I think it fits in really beautifully into the Psukim. You see, the idea, at least according to the Midrashim, is that Noach chose the Orev initially to reflect that he was fixated on the destruction of the world. But the Orev, it didn't work out with the Orev. And apparently the Yonah was chosen. I don't know if it was Hashgacha that he told Noach to use the Yonah, or Yonah chose it independently. But the Yonah was chosen. And when the Yonah comes back, he's trying to express to Noach an idea to try to help him deal with the transition from the destruction of the old world to the new world. But what is that idea? That idea is that the old world still exists in the new world. It just exists in a different framework. Either it exists in the non-physical world, the Gan Eden, the idea of Gan Eden, or it exists in this world in the concept of Eretz Yisrael, which is really there's a certain level of perfection of Eretz Yisrael. So I think that is really, you know, that is really the central idea of this story. The central idea that Torah is trying to get to is Noach's mindset, and the Yonah is expressing an idea that the world still retains a perfection, and not all of the world was destroyed. There is still an aspect of the world that still remained. Okay, does anybody have any questions? Anything? Do you guys agree with that point, or Tamar, can you say something? Tamar? All right.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. All right. So what about the olive branch? I think the olive branch itself is also reflects on that idea, because the olive branch is coming from Eretz Yisrael or Gan Eden, so it's expressing it. But the olive branch itself is the idea of Gan Eden and is the idea of Eretz Yisrael. It's the idea of that perfection. So what is that idea? There's a famous medrash. If you look at Rashi on the olive branch, he says, Taraf, and this is from a Gemara, it says, Chataf. So Taraf, which means it was plucked. Chataf means plucked, so the Yonah plucked the olive branch in its mouth. And it was in its mouth. Umedrash Agada, Lashon Mazon. The Medrash says that Taraf is really synonymous with mazon, with food. Vidarshu Pipia Lashon Ma'amar. So it was in his mouth, and there's a drasha that it means that he said something. The Yonah said something as it's in its mouth. He said, Amra, Yihi Mizonosai Merurin Kizayas B'yado Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu V'lo Mesukin Kidvash B'dei Basar Vadam. It's better that my food and my sustenance be bitter, but be in the hands of God, than be sweet and be in the hands of man. So what is this expression? What's the point of this medrash? It's obviously not, it's telling us, teaching us an idea. We're supposed to learn from this idea. I don't think it's literal that Yonah actually spoke, but I think it's trying to teach us an idea. So what is that idea? I think the idea it's trying to express is really the perfection of the world, of the Gan Eden and Eretz Yisrael, because the olive branch is coming from those places. So it's trying to express what that perfection is and what changed also. So what is that? What is this idea? This idea seems to be an idea in Hashgacha. The idea is that idea is that it's better to be reliant on God but not have the same level of pleasure than it is for man to be reliant on himself and have greater pleasure. And that's really what Eretz Yisrael is and Gan Eden. What do I mean by that? If you look at Eretz Yisrael in the Psukim, number 9, it's famous Psukim, number 9 is Dvar Miralef, Va'aret asher atem ovrim shamo l'rishta, eretz harim uvka'os l'mtar shamayim tishna mayim. It's referring to Klal Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz asher Hashem l'kecha doresh osa tamid. Eretz Yisrael is a land where God is constantly watching over it. Einei Hashem l'kecha ba. The eyes of Hashem are always on Eretz Yisrael. Mereishis Hashana ve'arach Rishana. From the beginning of the year until the end of the year. So Eretz Yisrael expresses the idea that man is completely sustained by God. There's a hashgacha in Eretz Yisrael that all of the sustenance that comes through Eretz Yisrael is not based on natural law, but it's based on hashgacha. So that is what the idea of the perfection that still remained in the new world, that is the perfection of Eretz Yisrael, which is that there's a makom, there's a place in this world where the sustenance is completely determined by God. It's not determined by man. And it's determined by God as Schar Ba'onesh, but it's still, you're completely reliant on God. And that was also the idea of Gan Eden. If you remember, by Gan Eden, man was completely taken care of by God. Yes, after the Chet, man experienced like a different level of pleasure. But before the Chet, because man's taivas and man's guf were ignited by the Chet, but before the Chet, man was completely reliant on God. Yes, it's true, he didn't experience the same amount of pleasure, but his reliance on God was total and complete. And that was the idea of Gan Eden, and that's the idea of Eretz Yisrael. The idea of Eretz Yisrael is that it's supposed to reflect man's complete dependence on God, and that his sustenance is completely provided for by God. And if we look at even Olam Haba, which is referred to as Gan Eden, there's a similar idea that Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, Paraches, number 10, Halacha Beis, Ha'olam Haba ein bo guf ugvia el nafsho satzadikim bilvad, below guf kemal achei asharis, Hold ein bo gvius, ein bo lo achil of lo shesia. So in Olam Haba, there's no guf, there's no body, and there's no eating and drinking. Velo davar mikol advarim shegufos bnei adam tzrichin lahem ba'olam hazeh. So there's no real physical pleasure there. Velo ye'are davar bo min advarim shema'arin legufos ba'olam hazeh. Anything that affects the guf in Olam Hazeh doesn't affect the guf in Olam Haba. Kigyon yeshiva va'amida v'shina umisa ve'etza v'schok giyot v'behen. All these things like sleeping and death and emotions. Kach amru chacham arishonim. Ha'olma ba in ba lo achila v'lo shesia v'lo tashmish el tzadikim yoshvim atrosam b'roshan v'nenin meziv ashchina. Okay, so there's no real physical pleasure. There's no taiva like that. But man, in Olam Haba, is nenin meziv ashchina. There's a complete and utter connection and dependence on God in Olam Haba. And that's really the idea of Gan Eden. The idea of Gan Eden is that man was much more closely tied to God because his sustenance was completely provided for by God. And this idea is expressed in Eretz Yisrael, not in the same complete sense as Gan Eden, but in a smaller sense. There is an idea of Hashgacha, that man's sustenance is completely, he's completely reliant on God, and also in our idea of Olam Haba, which is the idea of Gan Eden. So I think to put everything together, you know, at this point, and the story, So you have the Orev, you have Noach's initial mindset, and then you have the Yonah, which is trying to express to Noach that there still is perfection in the new world that remains from the old world. And the two expressions of that. One is Gan Eden, the Olam Haba, and the other expression is Eretz Yisrael. And what is that idea? What is that perfection of the initial design of the world? The initial design of the world was such that man should be completely reliant on God, and there should be a complete understanding and dependence of man's sustenance on God, because it creates a certain closeness from man to God, as opposed to man relying on himself. And that's the idea of being expressed by the Alei Zayas, the Yonah and the Medrash. The Yonah is saying to Noach, this perfection still exists. This idea of man being reliant on God completely for sustenance, it's not completely forgotten, it's not completely destroyed, but rather it still exists in the new world. So I think that actually explains the story. And I think the idea of the Kerem is that Noach, it's true, he was given these ideas to help him deal with the transition between the old world and the new world, but he still had difficulty dealing with the transition. I think that's the idea of the Kerem, the idea of him getting drunk, that despite the fact that there is some type of understanding given to him as to the fact that there was still a perfection in this world that remained from the old world, he still, the destruction was too much for him, and he couldn't deal with the new world. Okay? Does anybody have any questions on that?
Before he planted the Kerem, he did what? He
made a korban? Yeah, first he brought korbanos, and then afterwards it says that he planted the Kerem. So,
after that he finally did accept?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. The psukim don't really say. Yeah, the psukim really don't say what happened after that point. It just says that that he was criticized for getting drunk. So apparently, I think the point of the story, though, is that it's telling you in his anticipation of exiting the teva what his mindset was and the ideas given to him to help him deal with the transition. But like I said, I think the point of the Kerem was that there was something that he didn't fully accept it, or he was still struggling with that concept. Okay, there's actually, I didn't put it in the sheets, but we have a little bit more time, so I just want to, there's actually an interesting medrash on this, and I was thinking about it today, and I think it's a little bit different than what we were saying, but I think it fits into a similar, I would say like a similar motif, a similar idea. Okay, so I'm going to read the medrash. It's about the Orev. The medrash is in Sanhedrin, Kuf Ches Amud Beis. If anybody has a Gemara in front of them, feel free to open it. It's in Parak Chelek in Sanhedrin. It says, let me just find it, it says, Vayishalach es ha'orev. So Noach, it's quoting the Pasuk, it says, Noach sent out the raven. So Amar Reish Lakish, Shuva Nitzches Heshivu Orev LeNoach. So the Orev, it said a Shuva Nitzches, a triumphant Shuva, retort to Noach. That's how the Sensino translates it, the English. Amar Lo, he says, Rabbecha son ani ve'ata sanesi. Your Rebbe hates me and you hate me. Rabbecha sonani, your Rebbe hates me. Minatahorin shiva minatmeim shnayim. Why does your Rebbe, meaning Hashem, hate me? Because he said to bring onto the teva seven pure animals or tahorim, not pure animals, but animals that were tahor, and only two of the tmeim. So the Orev saying, I was discriminated against by God. And then he goes on. He says, "V'ata sanisi, sanisani. Sorry, you also hate me. She'ata meniach memin shiva, v'sholeach memin shnayim. You're sending out from one of the species that only have two on the teva. You should send out from the seven. Impogia bisarchama osartzina lo nimta olam chaser beriachas. So if I'm affected by, let's say, the sun or the cold." If it's too cold or it's too sunny, then I'll die and the world will be lacking a creation. So why, he's basically saying that Noah hates me. Why are you sending me out? You should send out from the animals of the Tahurim. And he does actually send out from the Yonah afterwards. Then he says an interesting thing. He says, O Shemo le'ishti ata tzarech. Maybe you want to be with my wife. Apparently the Orev is a strange type of claim, but he's claiming that the reason why Noah sent the Orevis so that he could be with the Orev's spouse. So Amar Lo Rush, I'm actually doing a Gemara right now in Avodah Zarah, whether that's even possible anatomically or not. But it's an interesting claim that the Orev is making, that Noach really wants to be with his spouse. Amar Lo Rasha. So he says back to him, you're a Rasha. B'mutter li nesar li, b'nesar li lo kol shekein. If I can't be intimate with that which is mutter to me, my wife, b'nesar li, that which is usher to me, lo kol shekein, of course I can't be intimate with a bird. U'minola d'nesru, and then the Gemara says, where do we know that it was usher for Noach to be with his wife and the children to be with their wives? D'chsiv, u'vosa la teva ato v'necha v'ishtecha n'shtev v'necha itach, u'chsiv, so they were separate when they went in, and they were separate when they went out. Okay? It's a strange story. What's the purpose of the story? What exactly is the Orev accusing Noach of? And, you know, I think there's an idea here that actually, you know, fits into what we were saying, but I think it's a little bit different. But obviously, I don't think this is a literal story. I think I was looking up the
Achron. It seems to represent why everything was destroyed, in a sense.
Okay.
So it's just...
Well, why exactly... Well, the Orev is saying...
...the world that led to the destruction.
Well, I think we should take it step by step. So the Orev, what's the Orev saying? He's saying, listen, you hate me and your Rebbe hates me. Why? Because your Rebbe hates me because he only, he said to take 7 of the Tahoran and only 2 of the Tmeim, and you hate me because you should have sent out from the Tahoran and you're sending out from the Tmeim. Right? So why exactly, so the Orev is wrong, right? Because Hashem doesn't really hate the Orev. So what exactly, why exactly is there that differentiation? Why did Hashem, the Mefarshim explained it, but why did Hashem say that there's 7 Tahorim and only 2 from the Tmeim? What's the purpose of that? Why did he separate the 2? Does anybody know the reason given? The Mefarshim say. They say the reason is for the Korbanos. The reason why you had 7 Tahorim is so that Noach and his children could bring Korbanos after the flood. But by the Tmeim, apparently you can't bring a Korban that's from an animal that's Tameh. So the Orev is... The Orev is pointing out, so what is the Orev pointing out, I think? The Orev is pointing out that, see, the flood created a new distinction amongst, within the animal kingdom. It used to be that all animals were treated evenly and equally, but now some animals, their existence and the purpose of their survival is simply to serve man, and other animals exist separate, and they exist on their own. So the Orev is really saying that Rabbecha Sonesi and Ata Sonesi, he's pointing out that now, as a result of the flood and the Mabul and this new world, there seems to be a new distinction in the animal kingdom. And some animals are designed only for man alone, and those are the Tahorim. They're really designed for man to utilize, to serve God. And the others, the Tmeim, are really, they exist apart from man. They exist as a separate entity from man. So that's the true idea of what happened. But the Orev is really expressing to Noach that there's a tension now. There's a tension within the animal kingdom. That it used to be that all animals existed for their own existence, and now there's a separation amongst the animal kingdoms. And some animals exist for man alone, and other animals exist apart from man. So the claim that the Orev is making is that Noach, he should understand that idea. And Noach should send out the Yonah. Why? He should send out an animal from Tahoran, because Noach understands now this new framework of the animal kingdom, and he understands that there are going to be animals that exist for man, and there are animals that exist apart from man. He should send out the animal that exists for man. And the Orev is saying, if you don't send it out, it must be that it's coming from some other source. Either it's coming from taiva, some type of desire to destroy the Orev, or it comes from hate. It comes from some type of hate of the creature. But Noach's response, I think, really fits into Arpshad. His response is no. He says, if it's usher for me to be with my own wife, it's certainly usher to me to be with a bird. He's saying, and then the Gemara explains, what's the idea? It's saying that it was usher for Noach to be with his wife, and as we explained, the idea of the Isser was that Noach should be in a state of tzar. So what's the whole point of the Medrash? The point of the Medrash is that, see, Noach was still, that was another aspect of the new world that Noach was struggling with. See, Noach was struggling with the new nature of, the new relationship between animal and man, and the new nature of the animal kingdom. you see, before the destruction of the world, animals were all treated evenly, and you couldn't distinguish between certain animals that were more designed for man's purpose and animals that weren't. They were all creatures of God, and they were simply designed to reflect God's creation. But once the Mabel happened, now there's a new relationship between man and animal. You see that also because of the fact that basar was now mutter for man to eat. Before the destruction of the world, man was not allowed to eat animals. And after the destruction of the world, the Torah says that man was allowed to eat animals. So the idea is that Noach was struggling with that. He didn't want to accept this new framework of mankind in the animal kingdom and the new relationship between the two. And the Orev is claiming that Noach isn't accepting it for either personal reasons or because of a taiva. But the reason why is because he was in Tsar. He was still struggling, and he was unwilling to let go of the destruction of the world. And he was unwilling to let go of the old world. So that, I think, is the idea of the Medrash. And I think it's just adding an extra dimension. The reason why I bring this in afterwards is because I don't think it's necessary, but I think it's adding another dimension of what Noach was struggling with. We said that Noach was struggling with the destruction of the perfect society and the perfect makom, the perfect place. But there's another idea that Noach was struggling with, which was the nature of the relationship between man and animal, which changed fundamentally from before the flood to after the flood. So Noach was struggling with that, and he couldn't. There's a part of Noach that couldn't accept that, and that's why he sent out the Oriv. Really, the Oriv's not making a bad point. The Gemara says it's a tshuva nitzches, so he's giving a triumphant retort. So the Oriv's point is that, you know, Noach is struggling with this, and he's unable to accept this new reality that man and animal have a certain relationship now that has changed, and he's unwilling to accept that. But where did that come from? It didn't come from a taiva, it didn't come from a hatred, but it comes from Noach's inability to let go of the destruction of the world and let go of the old world. And he was still clinging to it, and it still bothered him, and he was still bitzar. So I think that explains the Medrash, and hopefully like a little bit of a deeper insight and another aspect to the idea of what Noach was struggling with. Alright? So that's really the conclusion of the share. I just want to express the main points of the share. So there's the main point of the share was that the story of the Noach and the Orev and the Yonah is expressing Noach's psyche and Noach's mindset in anticipation of leaving and exiting the Teva. But apparently we see from the story that he chose the Orev because there was a part of him that was fixated and bothered and still in Tsar over the destruction of the world, and he couldn't deal with it. There was a part of him that couldn't handle it. And the idea of the Yonah, according to the Ramban and the Midrashim, is that the Yonah is trying to express to Noach that the world wasn't completely destroyed, and there was still an aspect of the perfection of the initial design of creation existing in the new world, and it wasn't completely destroyed. And that is expressed through Eretz Yisrael and also through Gan Eden. I don't know if it's really a machlokes or they're just expressing two ideas, but those two ideas express and relate this concept that the old world isn't completely forgotten, and there's still an aspect of the old world in the new world. And what is that idea of the old world? The idea of the old world, of Gan Eden, is the idea of Hashgacha, that there's a relationship between man and God, and that man was completely reliant on God before, and that exists in Eretz Yisrael, and that Hashgacha, and also exists in the idea of Olam Haba. And then I just wanted to add in just insight into that Gemara in Sanhedrin, and I think that's also showing you another aspect of what Noach was struggling with. That he didn't want to accept the new framework of man animal, and the idea that animals were now, there are some animals that existed apart from man and other animals existed simply to serve man, and he was struggling with that change, and the Orev is trying to point out that Noach is really doing something wrong, and Noach is saying to the Orev, you're right. Noach did recognize that he did something wrong. That's why he sends out the Yonah. But it wasn't for the reasons that the Orev said, but it was rather because he was still struggling with the loss of the old world and the structure of the old world, and it bothered him. And he was trying to adjust and transition to the new world. So the focus of the Shir is that idea, that concept, the concept of Noach's transition from the old world and the destruction into the new world, and how he dealt with it and how he had trouble dealing with it. And that's what the Torah is trying to express. The Torah is trying to express a lot of deep ideas through the story of the Orev and the Yonah. All right? So I think that's the conclusion of the share. Does anybody have any questions? Any points that they want to add? Any questions? Anybody? All right, so I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and next week, we'll same time. All right? So everybody...
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, bye-bye.